Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West, West, West.
This is our April 22nd, or no, March 22nd. I forget how time works sometimes. This is our March 22nd Reviews Issue Part 1. So, in this episode, we will be discussing Invisible Kingdom number 1. But first, we're going to start out with The Magnificent Miss Marvel issue number 1. This is written by Saladin Ahmed with art by Minkyu Jung. And fans of the show will know that I've been a longtime Miss Marvel fan, and I essentially forced Nat and Alex into reading it and everybody else that I come into contact with. So I was trepidatious that G. Willow was handing over the reins to Ahmed, but man, he absolutely blew me away. And if you've never read Miss Marvel before, this is an amazing jumping on point. We get an introduction to a lot of the characters, her backstory.
This is the first time I've ever read Miss Marvel, so yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, then I would love to hear from, I mean, I have glowing reviews, but I would love to hear you guys' take on it. Alex, you said this was your first time?
Yeah, it was really good, actually. I didn't expect to like it, because I read through a past issue that was from, like, a year or two ago and didn't like it. I also didn't realize that she was Pakistani, so that was a really cool aspect that I was like, oh, I didn't realize that,
That is correct, right? She's Pakistani.
Yeah, I was actually... I forgot that they said that specifically in this issue, even. But yeah.
They didn't, but she started speaking a different language to her parents, and then I was like, oh, what language is that? And so I asked Nat, and he mentioned that it was Pakistani.
Oh, yeah.
Which was not something that I picked up on. But, she's a pretty dynamic character, so it ended up being a really good issue, because you kind of delve, like, into her family and stuff.
Yeah.
I was a bit bored by this issue.
No.
So much
happened.
Well, I feel like I see the validity in it being really new reader friendly and being a jumping on point. It is a new number one rather than a continuation of the previous series. And I get that. But when I read the first volume of Miss Marvel, which I read late, within like the past year, maybe year and a half, it felt to me like reading Amazing Spider-Man for the first time. You know, like it was that level of joy and feeling. And it's issue one. They're setting things up. I know I shouldn't be hypercritical on this, but Ahmed has come with a really high pedigree, and he's coming off of G. Willow Wilson. Once again, super high pedigree. I guess I expected more. Maybe I wanted her more as Miss Marvel and less about just Kamala in this issue. Mm. And that you know, just goes into the storytelling I like. I thought the art was good, too. I really enjoyed that. Although this was one of those cases where I wish the cover artist was the interior artist, because there's so much more dynamism in the cover, and the style is very, like, very different from what you see. So.
Yeah.
Also, like, we're going full spoiler territory. I want her parents to support her, and like that felt really, it felt disingenuous to all of a sudden be like, oh, her dad knows now and he's still against everything, and just, I don't know, I didn't like that.
Yeah. I feel like they're leading into a dynamic where it won't be like that anymore, though, because of the ending, and so much happened. This was like really heavy for first issue to me. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, no, I actually have the opposite one, because her mom has known since the beginning, and she's been super supportive,
right,
yeah. And then finally tells her dad, and yeah, like, there's gonna be a whole thing where, I mean, I follow a lot of Miss Marvel Tumblr blogs, but, so, I'm spoiled that they're going to be on a different planet, and her parents are gonna be there, and so essentially, she's going to have to save them.
So they're going cosmic, eh?
Yeah. So he's taking the family story into space.
Okay, that has me intrigued.
And then the person, because the whole first issue is framed from this alien telling his daughter, quote unquote. You know, I don't know alien genders, but it's the guy telling his daughter about, you know, what is it, the Destined One?
Right.
It's Miss Marvel, and he's telling this, it's framed from, like, many years in the future, so she's already come to the planet.
So, okay, so this...
like, made a destiny there somehow.
This might be my preconceived notions that... I guess I haven't read enough Ms. Marvel, so, you know, feeling the dynamic of her mother's relationship to her as the superhero. And then, I guess, not getting enough information for me to pull me into that level. Because I love cosmic storytelling, and I love cosmic Marvel, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of moving towards that is much more interesting to me.
Yeah, so they are... cover number two, I remember, is her, like, holding on to, like, the Welcome to Jersey City sign as she's being, like, sucked into, like, a wormhole.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's okay. Gonna jump quickly into some...
Oh, some yeah.
Space stuff.
Once again, though, that cover artist is pretty fantastic.
I know. I just want to say one thing, too. I love the way that Minkyu Jung has illustrated her powers, though, by the way. Like, this is the first time... And it's such a small sequence, but this is the first time I've seen her, like, shrink to, like, the tiny size and then grow to giant size
within, like really quickly.
Two panels, which she can and is awesome and makes her, like, one of the... She, like, watching the fight scene in this, I was like, damn, she is OP. She yeah. is super OP, and she can heal and, like, shapeshift, too. She doesn't, like, change yeah. into other people.
Yeah, the way often. That the Lego knuckles that she had when she's, like, crushing somebody mm-hmm. in the issue.
Well, because she's taken other people's forms, too, in the past, mm-hmm. and also in other things. Like,
Appearance 1, she did the old Miss Marvel costume from Carol Danvers.
Yeah, and there's one time where she was, like, a dude and met Miles Morales in, like, the boys' bathroom in one of, like, oh, the things. So, yeah, there's... Yeah, she's... pretty OP, I guess.
Cool.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I'll give it another chance because of what the promise is for the story, so.
Yeah, Nat's like, unless it involves space, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of Kat.
Yeah, and see, I'm the opposite of you, too, is because, like, that's one of the reasons I've always loved Ms. Marvel, is it's such a, like, a grounded, down-to-earth, like, small-scale
story.
Personal story, I guess.
Well, I guess if you're going to change writers and change the dynamic of the characters, you got to push what the character mm-hmm. does.
Yeah, well, I kept saying, you know, he's taking over and everyone's like, it's a new age. And even on the cover, it says a brand new era starts here. And yeah. I was like, all right, this is a lot of talk for a lot of writers say that, you know, like, but it really is like, it's similar, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So cool.
All right, well, I guess we will say, well, what has G. Willow Wilson been doing if she's not writing Miss Marvel? Well, she's launching a new comic book at Dark Horse with Christian Ward. It's called Invisible Kingdom, so this is Invisible Kingdom number one. I loved this issue. I felt like this was fantastic science fiction world building. So it's about two different stories that seem to be connecting at some point. There is the story of a shipping crew that seems to be Space Amazon, that is, you know, moving goods around the galaxy, and they have some sort of engine issue. It's not a lot that's, like, gone into exactly what's wrong, other than the fact that a drive was supposed to be fixed by the Lux company, and they did not, because, you know, paperwork and red tape and all that fun stuff. And then we're also dealing with a religious group on a, I will say on a ground floor or ground level, because there's multiple planets involved in this story, and our lead character is basically trying to become a nun and following the path. And nun is spelled N-O-N-E, which is very interesting, and I'm sure it means something. Although at first I thought it was an error in the comic print.
I thought it was too until they repeated it.
Yeah.
And then knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she is seeking the Invisible Kingdom, which, spoiler, name of the book. So.
Because the path is what they're supposed to, this religious order is following the path,
yeah.
which we don't know what that is yet. And the path leads to the Invisible Kingdom. Also, we don't know what that is yet.
Yeah. This field felt like a cross between, like, the Force Star Wars stuff, so dealing a lot with, like, the religious aspect, and then a serious version of Futurama. So...
I was getting, like, Firefly.
Yeah, okay, I get a little Firefly in there, but it's very serious in tone. Like, this is a very... we're dealing with corporate corruption and potentially religious corruption, and it's the story of space nuns, which G. Willow actually talks in the back about. She wanted to write a story about space nuns and who, you know.
The color scheme is amazing.
Oh, God. Christian Ward's art. Like, he is... What the cosmic colors and the use of pinks and bright blues and oranges, specifically in the space stuff. So there's a definite color palette shift between the two stories. Things that are ground level are much grayer.
See, I thought it was going to be too much. Like, when I first saw the, like, okay. intro to the book, I was like, oh, there's going to be too many colors. And on some pages, he does use, like, all the colors in a book. But then he gets to, like, pages where they're trying to explain a story, and each panel is only, like, it sticks to two or three colors a panel. Yeah. Which is super nice, because then it's not distracting or overwhelming to the story.
It's really interesting as an artist, too, because he's all art. You know, it's everything. He's doing the... I don't even know if we can say pencils and inks and colors. It's just more like it's all one conceived thing at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. he's doing all of the art. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm super excited to see where this goes, because, I mean, they're very different stories that are being set up, and I'm interested to see what the inciting issue that brings them together are. I mean, ostensibly, like, they're both going to quit the lives that they know. Like,
yeah.
They're both, like, they keep... Well, especially the nun, the religious story, they keep telling her, like, she can't be there, or she's right. not supposed to be there or something.
Well, and we say she, but she's one of the, of her race, oh, she yeah. is the most rare gender, and that is commented on.
Yeah.
So well, there's going to be definitely an element of gender identity in this story, which, you know, big fans of Steven Universe, you know, what is...
Yay. Yeah, because what is she too?
They name it. It's when she's up, in
Cumber. Down, left and right are the four genders. Yeah, what they're referred to as, I guess.
And then she's a once again using she. They are a different gender identity.
They are a down.
Is that they?
I believe so, but. I'm gonna know.
It's when she's talking to Lady Proxima or Mother Proxima.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're a down, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the head nun, and she guesses, and oh, because somebody mentions it before, like, I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even tell them apart, yeah. or something like that.
So that was really, like, cool. There's really great world building in this book. It's gorgeous, too. Like, we talked about the technical aspects of Christian Ward's artwork, but the book is beautiful. It is a sight to behold, and it's easy to follow. I mean, I don't think there's ever a moment where you feel like you're lost in what the story is doing. Like, it makes sense. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the questions I have are good questions.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know more. There's a lot left unanswered, but not in a bad way. Like, why did they do that?
Oh, I wanted to... I assume that... Because the way that the two things are heading together is that Lux has to be funding this church, which seems to be completely on the outskirts of, like, the idea of away from the consumerism of the Lux Corporation. Mm. And that is the empty packages. Like, that's where I think the story is going, is the uncovering of the empty packages is a way to funnel money into a different corporation. And that corporation that they're funding money into is the religious organization.
Yeah. Either that or the religious organization could be, like, a front, like a laundering sort of yeah. organization for the company.
Which is crazy, because then you're thinking about, like, that's supposed to be the organization that's separating themselves from Lux, and they're actually the organization that's being funded by or... working through Lux.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. No, yeah. And knowing G. Willow, it's going to even get crazier from here on out. So, yeah.
Yay. Good. Sweet. Well, I guess that's it for this one, right?
I don't have anything more. Alex, you got any final thoughts?
On Invisible Kingdom? No.
All right. Well, with that said, I guess it's time to sign off on this one.
Alrighty.
Let's say bye then.
Bye.